Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Okay, let's just look at a piece of evidence. The Sicario, New Mexico case in the 1960s, patrolman Lonnie Zamora sees an object land and possibly a couple of people, beings, whatever, around it. It was investigated by Dr. Hynek and a lot of other people, never fully explained. What do you think caused it? It's not a parallax effect with a
video. Sure, no. No, I mean, you know, it's the guy who had an encounter with a, you know, UFO. It's a craft. Like, he thought he saw, what is it? Was it like an egg-shaped craft? And, you know, other people reported seeing something as well. And he says he saw some flames or something off in the desert. And he said he saw an actual object. And then he saw it take off. So there's not a lot of ways you can go with this. Is either he saw some weird craft that did that, you know, he's being entirely accurate, or he is mistaken in some way. So there's a few possibilities there. He could have made up the entire thing. He could have been asleep and had a dream. He could have, I don't know, hallucinated or something. Or he could have, I don't know, had some weird misidentification of something that was much further away than what he was looking at. It's kind of hard to say. It's hard to say what the actual thing actually was. So, you know, again, I think I would make a list of what are the more probable things. I think a big problem with UFO cases is that people eliminate things. There's the premature elimination problem. Right? They'll say, oh, there's no way this guy could have lied because he's a police officer. And then they eliminate it. It's just gone.
There is no evidence this guy lied at all. There isn't any. But have you read any of the books that cover this? Kevin Randall has one. Ray Stanford
has
one.
I haven't read the books. I've read accounts of it, but I haven't read any of the books.
Yeah. So you're assuming or accounting for things that aren't addressed. And it would seem that a lot of the concerns you have were addressed in the books and the stories that have been written about it.
Well, yeah, you're saying like there's no evidence that he lied. How would you have that evidence if there's no evidence of anything?
One of the things you would certainly look for at the beginning is this guy giving you an accurate account of what happened. And if he lied, he had to be a pretty damn good liar, right?
Sure, but people are very good liars. I'm not saying that he was a liar. You know, it could be, you know, there's some theories that it was some kind of like hoax, like somebody were made, you know, some kind of balloon with flares attached or something like that. So he could have seen something that he misinterpreted. It's not clear because all we have is his account. And that's basically it. You know, there's some other little things like depressions in the desert and things like that, which are very, you know, ambiguous. But if you're just going by one person's eyewitness account, it's very difficult to kind of ascribe or assign a number to that in terms of like how much you trust it. And there are other possibilities. There is the possibility that he is lying. But I tend to put that lower down because people don't lie a lot of the time. But people do. You know, there was a hoax recently in France where there was this UFO video of a bar of light that was spinning around, and lots of people fell for it, but then it was revealed to be a hoax. People do hoax things occasionally. I don't know if that's what happened in the Zamora case. I prefer usually to go for the more charitable explanation, which is that they misidentified, you know, something else.
Yeah, okay, something he saw close up, landed, he misidentified it. Maybe it could have been something else. We don't see evidence that he was the kind of person who would suddenly, out of the blue, make up a story about seeing a UFO because it gets him attention he doesn't want, obviously. from his life. Also, yeah. The possibility that it was faked by university students has been looked into, and a lot of inconsistencies are found there that would not indicate it. So at the very least, what people who actually investigate it and even talk to the guy are that something happened that we can't explain. Doesn't mean it was a spaceship. It doesn't mean that because a UFO can't be identified that we can say E.T. is here. We can just say, well, something happened. We don't know what happened. It doesn't fit into the parallax explanation, if you get my drift.
Yeah, but yeah, it was something that was kind of on the ground, I believe, that he saw it. He saw it move away, like it just kind of took off. Yeah, I don't know what he saw. I don't think anybody really knows what he saw. I don't think because we can't figure it out that an alien spaceship is the most likely explanation. You know, I would stick that on my list of possible explanations, but I would also put things like, you know, some kind of prank as being a possible explanation that was probably more likely than aliens. We don't have any evidence that that aliens exist. So if you go for the things that that happens a lot versus the thing that we've never known happen, even if one thing seems a bit unlikely based on the individual's personality, then you've really got to consider all the information here.
Well, the prank explanation has been explored, and for various reasons, which are well documented, I urge you to study up on that.
Okay.
They've been found wanting. It doesn't mean it was a spaceship. It could have been a test aircraft. How do you know? It could have been a test aircraft of some kind, and he's in a part of the country where things like that might have happened. I wouldn't dismiss the possibility here that some classic UFO cases were really test aircraft. Okay? I don't know.
Definitely.
But it doesn't have to be a spaceship either. But if it's unknown, okay, let's figure out what the unknown is. If it comes to being a spaceship, that would require a lot of evidence far beyond just landing there, but demonstrating something that's way beyond what we could do. And maybe some of those naval cases fit there. But as I said, back to Sicaro, I think you're too readily dismissing things or exposing options that have already been considered. It doesn't mean it was a spaceship. It means we don't know what it was.
I think you're perhaps giving the eyewitness account too much there, because you can't really rule out things like a hoax based on his eyewitness account, because he could have greatly misperceived what he was looking at. We don't really have physical evidence that it wasn't a hoax. We just have his account that doesn't seem to fit with a hoax.
And we don't have physical evidence that it was a hoax, although that claim has been made. I wanted to jump away from UFOs, because we understand where you are and where your point of view is. And that is ghosts. People think they've seen ghosts. And the ready explanation is that it's got to be my dead Uncle John. And believe me, I never had a dead Uncle John, but just assume. And you go to a haunted house, and that's got to be Uncle John. So the question I would ask here is, ghosts, every last event considered a ghost sighting has to be either a fake or something misinterpreted? What?
Yeah, I think it's one of those situations where we don't have a great case of evidence that shows like any particular event was actually a ghost. We don't have very good examples of people communicating from the afterlife. You know, we don't have situations where people have, you know, left sealed messages in a bank vault and then come back and told an investigator what was in that bank vault. We don't have things like that. Things that it should be easy to test if people can communicate from the dead. They should be able to, you know, give information that only they would know. But we don't have, you know, examples of that happening. And we don't have very good photos or videos of ghosts. We have eyewitness accounts, and we have lots of very plausible explanations for things like sleep paralysis. You know, people fall asleep and they start dreaming and they kind of half wake up and they can't move. This is something that's happened to me. I've seen, you know, giant monster spiders descend from the ceiling whilst I've been paralyzed in my bed, but they weren't actually real. But I can certainly imagine if someone saw their Uncle John in the bedroom when they were asleep, then, you know, they could think it was real. Hallucinations are things that happen to people.
We have more to talk about with ghosts, what could cause them, other than fakery, of course, with Mick West and Gene and Kurt. You're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at rockoids.com. That's rockoids, rockoids.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Okay, sleep paralysis. But people go to a haunted house and they look for things that have been reported there. It's not sleep paralysis unless one individual is in bed and something happens, which we understand. But when several people report something, it's not sleep paralysis. So either they're making it up or there's some other explanation. What else?
I don't think usually they're making it up. A lot of the time when people see a ghost, it's kind of I want to believe type thing. Like, people go on ghost hunts because they want to find a ghost. You know, so like people go on these CE5 UFO vacations because they want to see a UFO.
And enrich the person who runs the excursion. Yeah, but we've already reported about that one.
The ghost hunting stuff, I think, you know, it's almost like this fun thing that you do. You go to a haunted house and you try to speak to the dead. And a lot of people believe that they can sense the presence of a ghost and things like that. And then people become really primed to interpret anything that happens within that house as a ghost. And a lot of houses that are ghost houses are old houses. So they have creaky noises, they have drafts, they have doors that kind of blow closed, and they have like areas of the house that get very cold, and they have lights that flicker. They become haunted houses for actual physical reasons, but it doesn't mean they're actually ghosts. So, you know, we've got to look at the evidence. And I know a lot of people believe in ghosts. And a lot of times, like I said, it's because of personal experience. And that's, you know, something that is, I can't really say that, you know, what happened to you wasn't real, because it certainly seemed real to you. But if we're looking at it from a scientific basis, if we want to convince the world that ghosts are real, we kind of have to have a bit more evidence than just these personal experiences. We've got to have things. If you claim that ghosts can move objects, we've got to have some video of the ghost moving that object. And we've got to have scientists in there, you know, people who know how to fake these things that prove, so they can figure out if it's real or not. I think if ghosts were real, it's such a big thing. You know, there's lots of people dying all the time, lots of people going to the next world. There would be evidence. And there really just isn't, unfortunately.
Well, of course, as our listeners know, I've had some heart stuff done to me lately, dealing with blocked arteries and such. And it would be nice, of course, if I knew I was on the way out. I'm assuring you I'm not. If I was on the way out, I'd have some way of talking to people, you know, like Houdini or Jim Moseley or somebody. What about the question here, of course, is that people believe in things like that, talking with the dead. And is that something that's a positive belief? Can it cause harm?
A lot of the time, I think no. I think it's essentially, you know, what I would describe as mostly harmless. I think where it could be harmful is if you get into such a state that you believe that you're being haunted, and you believe that perhaps, you know, ghosts are talking to you or something like that. Yeah, you could perhaps convince yourself that things are happening when they're not. Or if you believe that, you know, say with UFOs, the government is covering up evidence of UFOs to an extent that you now can't trust the government about anything because you know that they're lying to you about UFOs. That can be kind of something that can have some kind of negative consequences in people's life if they start distrusting science and they start distrusting, you know, the government, and they start making decisions about things like their personal finance and their health based on these false beliefs. Then it can be a bit of a problem. But I think just simply thinking that there's a ghostly presence in your house, if you're not scared of it, it's not really a bad thing.
Okay, those who run the reality shows.
Yeah.
Okay, in 43 minutes, you got to find the ghost. If you don't find the ghost in 43 minutes, there's no show.
Yeah.
Okay, and we know that there have been legitimate efforts to run reality shows that they kind of screw up, like one of our former co-hosts, Chris O'Brien, was on a TV show called UFO Hunters. And he's been exploring strange events in the so-called Mysterious Valley. And he's written books about it. And they moved everything in this reality show to Sedona, Arizona, because I guess it's a sexier. You know, Sedona, you have the mystics mm-hmm. there and the crystal ball gazers and all that stuff and the psychics. So they changed the location of the events he was talking about with clever editing and omission and basically distorted the story. Now, one of the hosts of the show was saying this is something the producers did that he would not have authorized or accepted. But regardless, this is an example where a reality show can really be destructive in terms of distorting a story, not just trying to fit something within the 43 minutes when making up facts like, was it Hangar 1, was it? The MUFON show. Was that Hangar 1, Kurt?
Right.
Okay. Hangar 1. MUFON. MUFON's supposed to be the premier UFO investigative body. And we've had our problems with MUFON. Even though, as I said, Kurt and I tend to be positive about the possibility of UFO reality. But we also have people like that who take a story, go on commercial television, and they basically fake it.
Yeah.
And I guess with ghosts, you've got to find the ghost in 43 minutes.
Yeah, it's a problem. It applies to a lot of these reality shows, even ones that really aren't about the supernatural. It's like they have to sex it up. They have to make it more interesting to the audience because the goal of the show is not to do an investigation. The goal is to get people to watch the show. We know that shows that sensationalize are often more popular. You know, a show like Ancient Aliens is very, very popular, but you know, shows about SETI are much less popular because people aren't interested in boring science. They're interested in actual aliens. They're interested in actual ghosts. If you just do a show where people go to a haunted house and nothing much happens and some guy hears something, somebody else says they feel a bit cold, that's pretty boring. They've really got to add things to the show, and unfortunately, a lot of these shows do end up misrepresenting what's actually happening.
Now, in a situation where they're going to see a ghost, and maybe something weird does happen, do we assume somebody out there is just faking it for their benefit?
That's a difficult one, because we don't know. We don't know if someone is faking it. I would certainly suspect that. It depends what it is. A lot of ghost phenomena, like I said, are just old houses. And it's stuff that's going to happen anyway. Someone feeling cold, someone thinking they heard something. You've got a vase jumping off a shelf, then that's a very different thing. So that's something that's either a very unlikely coincidence, or it's a ghost, or someone pulled it off with a bit of fishing line. And it's probably the last one.
Well, certainly in an old house, there are going to be noises because the various components of a house are worn and torn, mm-hmm. and maybe because of weather or service conditions, they could be moving around and make some noise. So
yeah.
Now, I can perfectly understand that, and it doesn't take away from whether ghosts exist or not. It may explain the individual cases here.
Sure.
We've got more to talk about, and hopefully we'll have Mick hang out for our premium show because I want to ask more about other things like 9/11. But we're right now exploring the rabbit hole. And the book is Escaping the Rabbit Hole with Gene, Mick, and Kurt Turin.
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutrifies the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
USA Radio News.
I'm Brad Bernards. The acquittal of Kyle Rittenhouse, the teenager who fatally shot two protesters and injured another last year, sparked protests in cities across the United States this weekend. In Chicago, civil rights advocate Jesse Jackson led a demonstration on Saturday through the city's downtown area. Hundreds of people could be seen in one video holding signs and banners marching down the streets. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis continues to take on tyrannical COVID policies and win, thanks to a recent law putting restrictions on companies that mandate the vaccine for employees. Disney has now dropped their vaccine requirement for employees. Any workers fired because of the vaccine mandate could be rehired. This is USA Radio News. The Biden administration has put it on American taxpayers to fund illegal immigration, drug and sex trafficking, to the point President Joe Biden and Border Czar Vice President Kamala Harris should be sued for wreaking havoc on the United States, according to Representative Louie Gohmert, Republican of Texas, on Newsmax.
It's just fortunate for Biden and Harris that they can't be sued as government officials because they have wreaked so much havoc in the United States.
The UK Health Security Agency released its weekly COVID-19 vaccine surveillance report in England as of November 18th. The data was broken into 10-year age groups. From the age group of 50 and older, there were more COVID-19 deaths from people who were fully vaccinated than not. 2,823 total deaths were reported compared to 587 deaths who were unvaccinated. This is USA Radio News.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book is from the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So here it is. Obviously, there's a big business out there for people who believe in ghosts. And the question I would always ask is, are the people who make money from that business really sincere? They believe something's happening and they want other people to know. Or do they think, let me see, I could sell this many more books and therefore I should fake a few things? What do you think?
I think it's a combination. I think there's a lot of people in mystical communities and paranormal communities who genuinely believe in what they do. They believe that they have these experiences and that they have some kind of special ability or special power where they can perceive things that other people can't, or perhaps they can attract ghosts or attract UFOs. And they genuinely actually believe this. And there are people who set up business as things like psychics or ghost hunters who genuinely believe that what they're doing is some kind of paranormal thing. But I think there's also people who are frauds, who don't believe what they're doing and just see it as a way of making money. But there's also probably kind of people somewhat in the middle, people who perhaps started out believing and then found that they needed to make things be a little bit more interesting to get more people, and so they added things or they kind of bent the truth a little bit, and then they perhaps moved more in the fake direction, and they ended up being this strange mixture of believer and faker.
I'm going to go out on a limb, and for anyone who's been
interested in the conversation about ghosts and maybe faking. There was a book called Nightmare Alley. It was written by a fellow, I don't remember his first name, Gresham, quite some time ago. And he wrote a biography or maybe Ghost wrote a biography of Houdini. Mm-hmm. They made a movie of the book some time ago, and there's a new version. And if it's at all faithful to the book, I think everyone should see it. It's about a man who joins a carnival and later is in paranormal investigations, and there are some excellent plot twists to it. So I'm really hoping they capture the spirit of the book. If you don't want to see the movie, try to track down the book. It was great. Nightmare Alley.
Yes, that's very interesting. And I think a lot of these movies, they start out with it being... Everyone thinks that it's fake and there's nothing going on. But, of course, it's a movie, so they have to sex that up as well. And it will introduce a little bit of actual paranormal stuff as well. So I don't know what's going to go on in the movie, but it's a fun topic. Even if you don't believe in it, it's something. It's lots of opportunities for interesting things to happen.
Well, speaking of, just to talk about the movies for a minute, whenever they adapt a true story, alleged true story, there is always this, you'd mentioned the dramatic effects that they add into a reality show. Of course, that's much more so in the case of the movies. And people have said the Amityville Horror, the original novel, was highly fictionalized. And then the movie adds mm-hmm. even more layers of that. And so, it's more imaginative and unreal than even a dream by the time they're done with it.
Yeah, it's... a movie's different to a book. In a book, you can... creating the scene yourself in your mind, whereas in a movie they have to create everything for you, and so it naturally lends itself to making it much more visually entertaining and much more kind of visually interesting. And so you've got to have fun visual stuff that actually happens, which means you've got to have in this type of movie, you've got to have real paranormal stuff happening, which perhaps could be much more hinted at in a book than you would in a movie.
Well, the problem is even in movies where it is supposedly based on a real event, like Fire in the Sky, for example, the Travis Walton event, they actually altered the description of the events for reasons required by the Hollywood producer community.
Yeah, it's based on a true story, or an allegedly true story. So, but yeah, it's anything that comes. Oh, the JFK movie—that's supposedly a true story, but that's they added a lot to that to make it a more entertaining film. And of course, that happens with everything. Everything that Hollywood touches is going to become more than it actually was in reality.
Well, I'll give you an example here. There's a book in the 50s called Flying Saucers from Outer Space by Major Donald Kehoe. He's mm-hmm. a former Marine Corps major. You know who he was. And he was a pretty sincere guy. I knew him slightly. Shows you how old I am. And he wrote down a pretty credible account of unusual events. He believed in spaceships, and whether you accept it or not is another story. But the point is, he tried, as far as I could tell, to accurately portray the events that were conveyed to him and to investigate these cases. Hollywood bought that book. Now, as you know, people who deal with Hollywood, unless you have some kind of production deal, the producers reserve the right to do anything they want with your book, okay? So a movie comes out in 1956. Maybe 30 seconds of that movie covers UFO cases, kind of similar to what had been reported up till then. This is the movie suggested by Major Keogh's book. The name of the movie, do you know the name of the movie, don't you, Mick? You don't. Okay.
I don't.
Earth versus the Flying Saucers.
Oh, right, yes.
Which is actually one of the best B-movies. Okay, one of the best B-movies of the time, great special effects from Ray Harryhausen. But let's point out, obviously, that it was sci-fi, and Kehoe was mortified. He said so in one of his books. Hollywood's going to do a documentary. This is it. I also think the guy was terribly naive. As much as I actually like Kehoe, and I think he really tried to do the real thing, he was bamboozled by Hollywood, and you don't let that happen.
Yeah, it's Hollywood is a beast, and it's going to just do what it wants. So it's unfortunately that people get a lot of their perceptions of reality from Hollywood. Yeah, a lot of the UFO culture is a reflection of these movies. Yeah, the Close Encounters of the Third Kind had a big influence on people. It kind of a romanticization of UFOs. It was a reflection in some ways of what was going on with the interest in UFOs. But once you reflect that and turn it into a movie, it becomes this huge magnifying force. And sightings of UFOs shot up after that. Same thing with shows like The X-Files. You know, when you start having movies and shows like Men in Black, things like that, every time something comes up that's a big Hollywood production about something, it just boosts interest.
Right, but does it mean that people are going to make it up because of the movie or because it's drawing attention to these experiences? If they had such an experience, they're now more inclined to report it. Now, with Close Encounters of the Third Kind, for better or worse, Dr. J. Allen Hynek, a real guy who really investigated UFOs, gets a 30-second part at the end of the movie, things like that. Where the French-speaking UFO researcher is based very, very loosely on Dr. Jacques Vallée. All this came together to take something, which is a sci-fi movie, nothing more than a sci-fi movie, and giving it the aura of authenticity. Now, it is said that Steven Spielberg is really interested in UFOs and might even believe there's a reality to it. But it will not stop him from making an entertaining movie and grossing a few hundred million dollars or a few billion dollars from it, which in this case is fine. And you could be interested in UFOs and still enjoy Close Encounters of the Third Kind and accept it as kind of a fun ride, which it is, just saying.
Yeah.
We have Mick West. We got some more stuff to talk about. Kurt Collins is our guest co-host for this week. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Folks, looks like food shortages are here and going to stick around. Supply chains are breaking down, and inflation is back with a vengeance. It's all part of the shortage economy. What used to be unthinkable is now in the headlines. Are you ready? Do you currently have a stockpile of emergency food at home? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com today, and you'll find an emergency food kit that's right for you and your family. My Patriot Supply is the largest preparedness company in America, serving millions of families like yours. Pick up a 3-month food kit that stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. The meals in the kit provide over 2,000 delicious calories a day. That's important when you need to survive. Order from MyPatriotSupply.com and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait for permission or more empty store shelves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com. Or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
This is me, the Merciless. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio, exactly according to my plan.
We've got Mick West. As you see, he's a friendly, genial guy. As you see, I don't always agree with him on a lot of things, although, you know, I'm more in the middle than the extremes. The extreme believers who believe anything. We have the skeptics who don't accept anything. And I think Mick, and correct me if I'm wrong, Mick, if you're hit with the right kind of evidence and you're shown there's no other explanation, you would accept some kind of quote-unquote paranormal reality. Am I correct?
I am an evidence-based guy. So if someone shows me evidence that demonstrates that something exists, then I'm going to believe that that thing probably exists. So yeah, I'm not opposed to ghosts or UFOs or whatever just because of them being a weird topic. I don't believe a lot of things because of the lack of evidence. So if someone showed me evidence for these things, I would believe it.
Of course, we all have different criteria of evidence, but let's talk about this universe in which we live. We have people who are skeptics like yourself and some who are, I think, far more extreme than you are. And then we have people who believe anything that goes on. Mm-hmm. And each one lives in a different universe, kind of like the political polarization. What do you think about that situation? How do we get skeptics and believers to understand each other and understand and learn from one another?
I think we have to talk to each other, like we're doing right now. I think there's far too much, especially recently, going on where people are cutting off people that they disagree with. You know, one of the benefits of social media is that it allows you to get into groups of like-minded individuals to discuss topics that you are mutually interested in. But it also has a side effect where you end up in groups and you don't get exposed to other people. And so the people in other groups kind of become others to you. You know, people that you never talked to. You have no idea what type of person they actually are. Someone who is a skeptic, someone who belongs to, you know, whatever skeptic society there is, might have a very negative opinion of people who believe in ghosts or UFOs. They could be scoffing and saying that they are fools. And people who believe in the paranormal and ghosts, UFOs, and
strange scientific things, might think that skeptics are all just heartless fools who are closed-minded and have a very bad opinion of them. But if you talk to people, you know, on the other side of the fence or in the other group, you will find that they are just regular people. You can talk about the things you have in common, and you can talk about the things that you disagree upon, and you can gradually come to understand the other person, and they can understand you, and you can both perhaps move a little bit forward. But talking, I think, is what we need to do more of.
Oh, by the way, listeners, we're going to talk about 9/11 and the conspiracies during our premium show after the Paracast, which is part of Paracast Plus. So if you're not a member, check out the Paracast.plus. I think there's too much to talk about there to focus on it now. In terms of the government investigation of UAPs, UFOs, where do you think they should go? They're going to invest taxpayer money on it, whether it benefits one politician or more. Obviously, there's enough interest to keep something going. What should they do to straighten out this whole mess?
I think it'd be great if they were more public about the actual investigations that were happening, if they could tell us about what they've actually been doing. We had this UAP report that came out. They said there was 144 cases. One of them was a balloon. The other 143, they don't know. But they don't tell us what they are. You know, sure, they're not telling us because that's the default position. It's secrecy and everything. They don't want to tell us about the radar and everything. But they could tell us something. They could tell us, you know, what types of things they were and what type of investigation they have done. It wouldn't be that hard for them to tell us a bit about what's actually going on. So I think more openness would go a long way to kind of clearing the air and giving people a better understanding of the overall situation.
Yeah, but basically the report says they don't know what these things are. They basically appear to be saying they don't know. They can't say it's not spaceships, but they can't say it is. They can't say it's not completely possible test aircraft from other countries, although they kind of say, well, that's not those. I have one conspiracy theory, since we like conspiracy theories, that maybe some of this is to spook the Russians and the Chinese. Mm. Hey, maybe the Americans got something going on there, a secret weapon, and we got to watch out.
Yeah, that's a possibility people have raised. I think it's kind of a very roundabout way of doing it, and they will probably do perhaps a bit better job of faking whatever it was if they wanted to do something like this. So I don't think the evidence of a super secret weapon is really particularly compelling. If it's not convincing all the American scientists, why is it going to be convincing the Russian scientists? It's, you know, it's a plausible theory, but I don't think it really stands up to what's actually going on.
There is one former head of MUFON, James Carrion, who had a book called The Rosetta Deception, talking about ghost rockets and stuff from World War II, and saying in the years after World War II, we were trying to spook the Russians about what was going on. And maybe that's the real answer behind Roswell. Not that it was a Mogul balloon, but an effort to spook the opposition.
Possible, but Roswell, I don't know, it didn't seem like super scary in terms of what was actually going on. Like, would they spook the opposition by saying they'd recovered a flying disc? It's a bit vague as to what's actually being described there as something that would frighten the Russians. Yeah, you frighten the Russians by suggesting you've advanced in technology. Now, sure, you could do that by saying you've recovered a flying saucer, but you know, the better way to do it would be to actually fake some amazing technological phenomena, like actual, you know, craft moving super fast, which is something that we do actually hear accounts of. You hear pilots say, like, you know, this craft flew around my plane. If we did actually have a craft that could fly around a plane, that would spook the Russians. But the accounts aren't really very compelling. So if they're not compelling us, why would they compel them?
Well, obviously, they were compelling enough in the naval cases to want to have this explanation and to want to have this research. The thing that bothers me so much about it is they come out with this report, which is very, very poorly written. And you and I know that how to write real stuff, as Kurt does. This was done really poorly, knowing that there was a lot of public interest. And they did the worst possible example of their investigative capabilities. I mean, it was really, really badly done. And they don't hold a press conference. They don't have somebody step up there and say, okay, I'm in charge of this. I'm the guy or gal who's in control of what's going on. I'll answer some questions for you.
Yeah, I don't think that was a deliberate thing. I don't think they deliberately put out a bad report. I think they just, the UAP team didn't have very many resources, and they were limited in terms of what they could actually discuss because they weren't allowed to discuss the details of any cases. So they essentially had to do an overview report. It was a bit surprising that it was so short. They could perhaps have gone into a bit more detail on things, but perhaps because it touched on so many sensitive subjects, they wanted to keep it as short as possible so they could, you know, simplify the clearance procedure. But I agree, it wasn't the best report. It's kind of a nice short overview of the situation, but it's really lacking in detail.
Hey, Mick West, please tell our listeners if they want to know more about the things you do, where do they check you out?
You can find me on my website, metabunk.org, or you can follow me on YouTube or Twitter at Mick West.
And I assume Escaping the Rabbit Hole is available at all the usual offenders, right?
It is, yes, anywhere where books are sold. And I also have a podcast called Tales from the Rabbit Hole, where I talk to a variety of people. There's quite a few UFO episodes, but there's a bunch of other topics as well.
Hey, you can find us on Twitter if you look for the Paracast. Look for the Paracast on Facebook. Check out branded merchandise for Paracast listeners, where we have the logos and the T-shirts and all that other good stuff at theparacast.shop, theparacast.shop. Mick will be back with us on after the Paracast, our premium show. It's available strictly for subscribers to the Paracast Plus, uncensored. You never know what's going to happen next. If you want to know more, check out theparacast.plus, theparacast.plus. If you use the coupon code UFO20, UFO20, we give you a 20% discount on 5-year and lifetime subscriptions to Paracast.plus. Mick West, thanks for joining us on the Paracast.
Thank you. Fascinating conversation.
Featuring Gene Steinberg is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Do you have a home that you don't want anymore? We can buy it from you within 24 hours, any home, size, or condition. For over 20 years, we've been buying homes for cash and helping homeowners sell their homes immediately with no listings or strangers walking through your home. Are you moving? Did you lose your job? Going through a divorce? Whatever the reason, if you're in a bind and you know that you need to sell your house fast, call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. We'll make you a serious cash offer to buy your home in 24 hours and let you walk away from it. No listing, no waiting. Sell any home, any size, any condition, now. Call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. Make this free call now.
800-475-0092. 800-475-0092. 800-475-0092. That's 800-475-0092.